Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. It is, of course, Wednesday morning, February 14th, 2007, about a minute after 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. A couple of amazing guys there. We certainly appreciate all that they have been doing. And yes, let's welcome back here Doyle Shamley, James Jankowicz. Both of you, welcome back. And Doyle, please continue. I know we were interrupted there by that break, so I apologize for that.
No, that's no problem. I was just saying that, you know, we are listener-supported. We don't have the commercials, which mm-hmm. is, you know, the route we choose to go.
Mm-hmm.
We had full sponsors for, you know, a long time from some various entities, and it wasn't our cup of tea, per se, so we are listener-supported. I think we give the person, listener out there, a lot of value in our hour, because in my hour of just, bam, here it is, I always warn people and give them a musical break right at the beginning, get your notebooks ready. If you ever tune into the Hour of the Time or Frank's show and don't have something to write with ready, you're wrong. And in ours, you just, the difference is you don't get a break. So my hour is, you know, I get a lot done in my hour because mm-hmm. I don't have to, like, you have to keep stopping and reintroducing. I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, getting three of your hours in my 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so people need to realize that. And when they take that useful information home that we're giving them to free themselves and their families and their churches and communities and militias and what have you, they need to realize that when it ends at 10 Eastern p.m., that doesn't mean the overhead ended or the internet fees or anything else ended, and it's not time just to go to sleep again. Like sheeple, the term Bill invented. It's time to say, man, I learned a bunch, and I need to get on this. And we can only expand and keep giving you more with people's support. That's the only way.
Yeah,
I mean, yours and our show should be on all over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all over, mainstream, non-mainstream, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be until people become proactive. And that's just like with James. James is proactive. How do you help James? Make this movie such a hit that it's in Cannes and the Independent Film Festival.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
And
absolutely fantastic.
Get the story out there and get James's quality work and documentation mm-hmm. in the forefront of people all around the world that are in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate it very much, both of you, because, you know, again, there are so many stories to be told. You know, every one of us has, you know, stories. Doyle, obviously you have a story that James has captured on film, and I hope that makes it into maybe a follow-up piece, maybe something like that. I think
we are looking to actually
good.
Put together a you know, an addendum to this.
Oh, that would be
because
wonderful.
Because as time has gone by, even since the completion of this, we mm-hmm. have stumbled upon a number of things that we feel might be really that people, fans of the show,
yeah.
and people who've been researching this stuff would really find very valuable. So we're actually exploring that right now.
I think it would be very well received, personally, because, well, like I said, I mean, I'm a talk show host just by lack of choice, I suppose, lack of options. I don't know what you want to call it. 14 years devoted to this is it's baffling to me at times. But at the same time, you know, I love to know. You know, I'm the kind of guy that watches, you know, I might pick up a DVD of a film, and I'll watch the extras first. You know, I want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. And,
right.
And we've got such a great insight with this film. And obviously we can see the importance of what Bill Cooper started, the importance of what Doyle Shamley continues, and the importance of the documentation of both, courtesy of you, James. So you guys are just fantastic. So I really appreciate you and all of your time. I hope people go to the website and check it out, hourofthetime.com. And James, do you have a website specifically for you as well?
Not at the moment. Again, that film could be reached at thehourofthetime.com.
Okay, wonderful.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right. Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, our fourth and final hour. I wanted to squeeze in a little bit of news here with the time we've got left. Let me remind you, of course, this hour being brought to you by the Survival Center, your one-stop shop for all things regarding preparedness. The Survival Center has anything you could possibly want or need to get ready for whatever might come down the line, whether you've planned for it or thought of it or not. If you don't believe me, go to the website and see the vast array they've got there for you at www.survivalcenter.com. The phone number, toll-free, if you'd like to call them, 800-321-2900. Okay? Now, I mentioned about the news sort of blowing up, and it certainly has done so. And I think there's a great, great deal of information out there. And we're going to have to probably just take a day and spend all 4 hours just on news and analysis. But a couple of key bits here. This one is from Global Research. .ca came out today, technically, the 13th. Pentagon carelessness, it says, fabricating bogus evidence against Iran is really quite stupendous. As I wrote here yesterday, the 81-millimeter mortar shell offered up to the complacent corporate media as evidence that Iran is supplying weaponry to the Shia of Iraq is an obvious ruse, as the date on the proffered shell does not follow the Muslim calendar, and other markings are in English, when it only makes sense they would appear in Persian script. Now, that goes and ties in with some things we've talked about here before on the program, where these unnamed military sources had come out and said, in essence, that due to the serial numbers on the weapons that they found, they've been able to trace it back. And I said, well, that's, first of all, preposterous on a number of levels, because, again, a common criminal who goes and holds up the liquor store probably has filed off the serial number on his weapon. Okay, so that's just a common criminal. These are supposed to be devious military maneuvers and arms shipments, illegal arms shipments, in order to facilitate an insurgency against, you know, the United States of America. You don't think that they would file off the serial numbers off these weapons? Well, of course they would. It's preposterous. Secondly, what access does the United States government or, you know, any foreign power have to a nation's records of serial numbers? And as I stated to you quite obviously in my mind, the United States says, yes, this obviously matches up with serial numbers. The only logical explanation for that is that these were initially Pentagon surplus weapons that were diverted and sold at a resale to some sort of arms dealer, some sort of supplier. And then that supplier in turn sold them to Iran, or, you know, and then Iran perhaps sent them to the insurgency, if you buy the official line of thought. But again, that's the only logical way that makes sense along the official lines. Now, I think it's more likely, of course, that the whole thing is just made up, but that's just me. Getting back to the story, it says, but it gets worse. As a recent email points out, quote, Iran does not manufacture 81-millimeter mortar shells, according to a report offered by the Jaffe Center for Strategic Studies at Tel Aviv University, connected to the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy at the Neocon Brookings Institute. The smallest mortar produced by Iran is the 107-millimeter M30. This information is included in the JCSS's Middle East Military Balance, updated as of last February. So, unless in the last year they've decided to expand some of these technologies, it's unlikely that that's true. Goes on, as Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Mohammad al-Husseini told the AP, the, quote, United States has a long history in fabricating evidence, end quote. An undisputed fact, more than underscored by the lead-up to the Iraq invasion, when the neocons claimed that Iraqi weather balloon trailers doubled as biological weapons labs and clumsily recycled a student's homework as evidence that Saddam was dabbling in weapons of mass destruction. It just goes on and on from there. But again, as you can see, the pieces that are offered up here by just, you know, elements of the media have already poked holes in all the official stories and all the official versions of events that we're supposed to be terrified that Iran is some super huge military power. And as I've stated time and time again, a lot of opposition to Iran because they're going about it in the same way they went about Iraq. That in and of itself should be a concern to people, because the one war that was like a hot knife cutting through butter as far as public support was in the aftermath of September 11th, and that war was Afghanistan, a war which still has no declaration of victory and no stated goals to achieve that victory. A concern to me, as it should be to you. Now this, my friends, is a fantastic piece from The Independent. Mainstream media. I love it when they do our work for us. February 12th, The Independent. Quote, the United States is moving closer to war with Iran by accusing the highest levels of the Iranian government of supplying sophisticated roadside bombs that have killed 170 U.S. troops and wounded 620. The allegations against Iran are similar in tone and credibility to those made 4 years ago by the U.S. government about Iraq possessing weapons of mass destruction in order to justify the invasion of 2003. Notice they said similar in tone and credibility, implying that the credibility of the Iranian allegations is nil. It goes on. Senior U.S. defense officials in Baghdad, speaking on condition of anonymity, said they believe the bombs were manufactured in Iran and smuggled across the border to Shia militants in Iraq. The weapons, identified as, quote, explosively formed penetrators, end quote, known as EFPs, are said to be capable of destroying an Abrams tank. The officials speaking in Baghdad used aggressive rhetoric, suggesting that Washington wants to ratchet up its confrontation with Tehran. It has not ruled out using armed force and has sent a second carrier task force to the Gulf. According to an official in Baghdad, quote, we assess that these activities are coming from senior levels of the Iranian government, end quote. He charged that the explosive devices come from the Al-Quds Brigade and noted that it answers to the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader. This is the first time that the U.S. has openly accused the Iranian government of being involved in sending weapons that kill Americans to Iraq. Now, that's interesting on a couple of levels. Let me jump in here with some insight. Just my personal opinion, folks. Again, do your own research. Two paragraphs before, senior U.S. defense officials in Baghdad speaking on condition of anonymity. Senior officials speaking anonymously on the record. And then this sentence. This is the first time the U.S. has openly accused the Iranian government of being involved. I don't see how nameless, faceless senior officials is openly accusing anybody of anything. What a bunch of cowards. I won't say this on the record, but we openly accuse the Iranian government of being involved with this. It's preposterous. And again, you'd say, well, wait a minute here. I thought you said this was a good story. It is, and I'll get to that. The allegations by senior but unnamed U.S. officials in Baghdad and Washington are bizarre. The U.S. has been fighting a Sunni insurgency in Iraq since 2003, a Sunni insurgency that is deeply hostile to Iran. Oh, well, I thought Iran was supplying the Shia insurgency, right? I mean, that would make more sense. That's more in keeping with the whole gist of it, right? But again, they're fighting a Sunni insurgency that has no love for Iran at all. It says the insurgent groups have repeatedly denounced the democratically elected Iraqi government as pawns of Iran. It is unlikely that Sunni guerrillas have received significant quantities of military equipment from Tehran. Some 1,190 U.S. soldiers have been killed by so-called improvised explosive devices or IEDs in Iraq since the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. But most of them consist of heavy artillery shells between 120 millimeters and 155 millimeters taken from the arsenals of the former regime and detonated by blasting caps wired to a small battery. The current is switched on either by a command wire or a simple device such as a remote control used for children's toys to open garage doors. Such bombs were used by guerrillas during the Irish War of Independence in 1919 and 1921 against British patrols and convoys. They were commonly used in the Second World War when shaped charges, similar in purpose to the EFPs of which the U.S. is now complaining, were employed by all armies. The very name, explosive formed penetrators, may have been chosen to imply that a menacing new weapon has been developed. Translation. These types of weapons have been around forever. They've been around since World War II. They've been around since the beginning of the 20th century. So given the fact that they're almost 100 years old and used in conventional or guerrilla warfares, this is nothing new. So these sophisticated weapons that are coming from Iran, not so sophisticated at all, honestly. Goes on. The statements from Washington give the impression that the U.S. has been at war with Shia militias for the past 3.5 years, while almost all fighting has been with Sunni insurgents. These are often led by highly trained former officers and men from Saddam Hussein's elite military and intelligence units. The U.S. stance on the military capabilities of Iraqis today is the exact opposite of its position 4 years ago. Then President Bush and Tony Blair claimed that Iraqis were technically advanced enough to produce long-range missiles and be close to producing a nuclear device. Washington is now saying that Iraqis are too backward to produce an effective roadside bomb and must seek Iranian help. Bravo and well said. It goes on. It is likely that Shia militias have received weapons and money from Iran, and possible that the Sunni insurgents have received some aid, but most Iraqi men possess their own weapons. Many millions of them received military training under Saddam Hussein. His well-supplied arsenals were all looted after his fall. No specialist on Iraq believes that Iran has ever been a serious promoter of the Sunni insurgency. The evidence against Iran is even more insubstantial than the faked or mistaken evidence for Iraqi WMDs disseminated by the U.S. and Britain in 2002 and 2003. The allegations appear to be full of exaggerations. Few Abrams tanks have been destroyed. It implies that the Shias have been at war with the U.S. while in fact they are controlled by parties which make up the Iraqi government. So, again, folks, translation. Everything that is being alleged anonymously from unnamed senior defense officials is a lie. Now, remember, we talked about it in terms of Tony Blair basically doing a 180, and he did that in October of, 2005. He basically just did a turntail and said, well, you know, not only is there no evidence, there's no credible intelligence to suggest that Iran is fueling the insurgency. However, of course, if you look at the allegations of the weapons that have been found and the serial numbers that have been traced, it almost seems like we might be fueling it ourselves, maybe as an excuse to get more troops in there. Just a theory. Stay with us, folks. We're back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
in our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm glad you're here joining us this evening. Back to our news. Now, I brought up all of the sort of allegations and sort of, I guess, looked at all the quote-unquote evidence and presented counter stories and different things like that for your perusal, for you to go and do your own research on, and come up with, you know, maybe you have a completely different insight. Maybe you read that last story and said, wait a minute here. This isn't detracting anything from the evidence. I would say, well, evidence meaning what? Legal evidence? Where is that? It's not anywhere. But I had brought all those points and sort of highlighted them. And, of course, and I said, well, you know, anybody's going to ask these questions. And apparently they've been listening. This one came out earlier today from CNN. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Peter Pace appeared Tuesday to question Bush administration assertions that the Iranian government is supplying weapons to Shiite militant groups in Iraq. Said Pace to Voice of America during a trip to Australia about what senior military officials call EFPs, quote, "We know that the explosively formed penetrators are manufactured in Iran. What I would not say is that the Iranian government per se knows about this. It is clear that Iranians are involved, and it is clear that materials from Iran are involved, but I would not say, based on what I know, that the Iranian government clearly knows or is complicit," end quote. So he's basically saying, hey, look, they make these in Iran. Well, yeah, they were making them basically in Ireland in, you know, the 19-teens. Okay. Does that mean that they're that difficult to make? And if they are making them, does that mean that these are the ones being used? And he's saying, well, yes, yes, they are. There's evidence. What evidence? Serial numbers on explosives? Conveniently, the serial number manages to stay intact. Just like on September 11th, when the passports belonging to the hijackers mysteriously were unharmed, even though the plane itself atomized on impact, it disintegrated. But the passport somehow, maybe as the plane atomized, the passports just passed through the non-existent plane walls as they atomized. They just floated to the ground. And there, the smoking gun, if you will. Or not. Anyway, White House spokesman Tony Snow on Tuesday portrayed the general's comments as in line with the administration's viewpoint. Tony Snow doing his job, spin master. Here's what he says. He asked CNN's Ed Henry, who had questioned whether the administration was speaking with one voice. He said, quote, he says they exist, correct? There are Iranians in Iraq. There's no question about that, correct? So where's the credibility problem? End quote. Yeah, there's Iranians in Iraq, or at least there were till they were arrested, but they were there as diplomats. And the Iraqi government did protest that. So, of course, CNN's not going to ask that question. Henry pointed out that Pace was questioning the Iranian government's putative role in the weapons, not the fact that the weapons may have been made in Iran. To that, Snow said, quote, the Quds force is part of the Iranian government. The Quds force is behind it, associated with it, end quote. So that's his dismissive explanation there. Story goes on. According to the U.S. military, other Iranian officers have provided information that Iran is arming a prominent Iraqi political organization. Those officers were detained during a December raid on the Baghdad compound of Abdul Aziz Hakim, the head of the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, a powerful Shiite political group with close ties to Iran, the U.S. military said. The Baghdad raid also netted documents that confirmed the arms sale, said the U.S. military. Well, they say that, but again, is there proof? Have we seen that? Who are these officers? And again, unnamed anonymous military officers, according to unnamed anonymous U.S. military officials. Officials, it says, with the political organization said the munitions were used for security purposes, an assertion disputed by U.S. military officials who said the mortars and sniper rifles were not intended to be for self-defense. The purported credibility problem alluded to by Snow was deepened for some by the fact that senior military officials who presented their evidence on Sunday did so anonymously and off camera. Yes, I would say that that indicates that the information itself is not credible. Look at poor Colin Powell. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't know that he was participating in a lie, but the fact of the matter is, you know, that's the guy that everybody holds up and says, look at this guy just lying with, you know, bold-faced lies. So anyway, obviously some people have problems with the quote-unquote evidence. Now remember, they talked that this evidence would be presented when it was thorough and complete and decisive, and it is none of those things. Tony Blair still doing his part. This one came out Monday, belfasttelegraph.co.uk. The British Prime Minister Tony Blair is backing American claims that Iran is arming Iraqi insurgents. Mr. Blair's official spokesman said that he doesn't believe the weapons can be sourced from anywhere else. Oh, okay. So it isn't even Blair. It's his official spokesman. He says that he, quote-unquote, believes. I believe the weapons can't be from anywhere else. Well, wonderful. Your belief is surely enough evidence, isn't it? Yesterday, U.S. military chiefs accused Iran's leaders of fueling the civil war. Yes, anonymously and off camera, as we've mentioned. Now, this, my friends, is also a fascinating and important component to the whole story. This is at thinkprogress.org, and it came out on the 12th, and it says as follows. As the Bush administration ratchets up pressure on Iran, Vice President Cheney's top national security aide has been quoted by the Washington Post in the 10th paragraph on page A18 that war with Iran is, quote-unquote, a real possibility this year. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? War with Iran's a real possibility. Well, yes, we knew that. But what's significant is who said it and in what context. And we'll get into that, folks, when we come back after this short break. Only 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Got about 25 minutes left in the show. Our website, of course, franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of great information there, courtesy of Webmaster James. So make sure you let him know you appreciate him. All of our contact information is also provided there on the website. Snail mail address. Maybe you have some things you want to communicate or whatever via the U.S. Postal Service. Maybe you'd like to place a call, in which case just leave a message and I'll get back to you. Or, of course, you could send an email, and that also does get to me through Webmaster James. So you crafty folk out there like to create new computer viruses and things like that. It's not going to get to me that way. So good try, but yes, Webmaster James, my armor. So we were referring to this story. ThinkProgress.org came out on the 12th. It's referring to a Washington Post story. It lists even the paragraph and the page number. Could not be any easier. But here is the quote from that Washington Post piece. It says, quote, "Some senior administration officials still relish the notion of a direct confrontation. One ambassador in Washington said he was taken aback when John Hanna, Vice President Cheney's national security advisor, said during a recent meeting that the administration considers 2007, quote, the year of Iran, end quote, and indicated that a U.S. attack was a real possibility. Hannah declined to be interviewed for this article. Now, that's from the Washington Post, and back to Think Progress and their analysis of it. It says, those with knowledge of the buildup to war in Iraq will recognize John Hanna's name immediately. In Bush's second term, he replaced Scooter Libby as the head of Cheney's national security staff. During Bush's first term, he personally wrote the first draft of the infamous speech that Secretary of State Colin Powell delivered to the United Nations Security Council, according to Powell's former aide, Lawrence Wilkerson. So, again, as we had stated there, Colin Powell perhaps just thought, maybe, and I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he was in it. He was in it for a while, and you know, he since left the administration and has spoken out against it. But at the same time, he did, you know, do his dutiful job as a good little lackey of the administration. He went and performed for the UN Security Council in the speech that was written, the first draft of which was written by the guy who says that a U.S. attack was a real possibility. Not war with Iran, per se, but a U.S. attack on Iran. That's significant as well. Now, you could say, well, it's always been a possibility. Yeah, that's true, I suppose. But, you know, when we look at all the rhetoric and all the quote-unquote evidence that's being offered up, it would seem to me, as we've spoken of many times, there's a certain sense of immediacy here. Now, what that originates from, I leave to your discernment, but I think I've offered several different scenarios on the show thus far, and you can, you know, explore those or come up with your own. Moreover, it said Hannah was a top source for false pre-war intelligence from Iraqi exiles that was quote-unquote stovepiped past the intelligence agencies and sent directly to the White House. And there's another quote here, I assume, from in regards to Hannah's pre-war intelligence about Iraq, the false intelligence, the quote-unquote oops, my bad intelligence, as the administration would like to refer to it as. And it says here, quote, for months, Cheney's office had denied that the Veep bypassed U.S. intelligence agencies to get intel reports from Ahmad Shalabi's Iraqi National Congress. But a June 2002 memo written by INC lobbyist Entefad Kunbar to a U.S. Senate committee lists John Hanna, a senior national security aide on Cheney's staff, as one of two, quote, U.S. governmental recipients, end quote, for reports generated by an intelligence program being run by the INC, which was then being funded by the State Department. Under the program, quote, defectors, reports, and raw intelligence are cultivated and analyzed, end quote. The info is then reported to, among others, quote, appropriate governmental, non-governmental, and international agencies, end quote. The memo not only describes Cheney's aide Hannah as a, quote, principal point of contact, end quote, for the program, it even provides his direct White House telephone number. So this guy's into it up to his armpits, if not further. And he's basically saying that 2007, the year of Iran, and indicates a U.S. attack is a real possibility. Not war with Iran, not them hitting us and us responding, but a U.S. attack. That's very significant. And thinkprogress.org concludes with this statement, which I agree with. John Hanna's comments about Iran should be taken seriously. He knows how to mislead a nation into war. The question I think that needs to be raised here is this. What evidence, and the war is, it's on, baby, it's scheduled. You know, they have their calendar and they've got it all marked down and they're counting down the days with glee like a child before Christmas Eve. So the question remains, what is it going to take to convince America to get behind it? Well, patriotism, eh. It's been exploited. I think people disagree with patriotism at this point. Patriotism, as I've said, in my opinion, is not my country right or wrong. It's how good can this country be? What can I do to make this country live up to the promises that I grew up with? You know, that to me is a more achievable goal and certainly a more important goal than just backing, you know, the play of the country of your birth. And I don't think it makes you less patriotic to ask questions. I think it makes you more patriotic because you're doing so because you're required to do so. As our guests said this evening, both of them, the burden is on us. We have to do something. We have to make a difference. And what are you going to do? People say, what can we do? Anything, something. Do whatever you're led to do. Maybe what you're led to do is simply to go and dig up these stories, read them for yourself, and see if you come to the same conclusions. In which case, fine. Good for you. That's enough. That's something. It's a start. Now, this is the story I was really excited to read today. Came out today, or earlier today, so technically the 13th of February. And you can find this at whatdoesitmean.com. It's written by Sorcha Fall. And, again, she's out of Russia, so the translation sometimes is a little choppy. But the content is still there. Now, I say that I was looking forward to reading this because I think it's very strange that this story would come out, given the fact that we had sort of anticipated that something like this could come along the line. So you could call it a validation, you could call it an allegation, whatever you want to call it, but I do think it's important. Last night, I think it was, we were highlighting the strategic importance of the country Iran. Now, strategically important to whom? Well, to whomever would be controlling it. As I said, with the number two levels officially on paper, the official number two, I guess, supplier of natural gas in the world is Iran. And the number two supplier of oil in the world is Iran. So, obviously, that's very attractive to the United States if they're seeking natural resources and the control of natural resources. And, you know, obviously having a monopoly on natural resources, that's a vital country to control. I mean, Saudi Arabia is number one, so certainly they're pretty tight with us, although Project for a New American Century does mention Saudi Arabia as a country that we should invade, control, whatever you want to read into that. A lot of people have forgotten that. So it looks attractive to U.S. interests in this war on terror. Now, the war on terror, as I said, is not really about terror because you can't win a war against terror, much like you can't win a war against drugs. I've seen perfect examples of that. It's also, Iran is also attractive to other places such as Russia. Why is it attractive to Russia? Russia has, on paper, the number one largest reserves on the planet of natural gas. Iran would be number two. That's according to sources. Now, I don't know. They change periodically with the price and whatnot, but it's worth looking into if it's something that piques your interest. But obviously, so Russia, if they controlled Iran, or they were on really good terms with them, they would have a virtual monopoly as well. And we've seen Russia display this several times in the past year, cutting off of oil and gas reserves to their various, you know, former republics, as well as to the EU in general. So that's been a concern to a lot of people. And if Iran is tight with Russia, that could be more of a concern. So perhaps another reason why people might be a little more amenable to the U.S. version of events. However, there's another side to it. It's the Russian perspective, and that would be the financial windfall that they are gleaning from the Iranian people by these contracts to build nuclear facilities and whatnot. And we've talked about that before. In fact, just last night we were saying how much of a deflation of our balloon would it be for Iran to just simply say, you know what, Russia, for Russia to say, you know what, USA, you've made your case, and I agree that that Iran is a threat. So we've solved the problem for you. We've stationed X amount of troops on Iranian soil to make sure that they are not pursuing nuclear weapons. And then the U.S. would have nothing to say because they've spent, again, all the way back from 2002, or maybe 2001, if you include the Axis of Evil speech, that Iran has been in the crosshairs. So if the U.S. has spent considerable amounts of time and effort trying to convince everyone that Iran is such a huge threat, and then Russia solves the problem for us, we can't argue at all. We have nothing to say on the issue. And people could say, oh, well, you know, how's the U.N. Security Council going to feel about Russia moving in and taking care of it? They probably would pat them on the back, given the fact that the EU negotiator, Javier Solana, as we reported yesterday, has basically said in his reflection paper that he doesn't believe that that sanctions are enough to dissuade Iran, that they're not afraid of the UN Security Council and they're not afraid of the IAEA. So if Russia, with a wink-wink, nudge-nudge handshake agreement with Iran, stations troops on Iranian soil, there's no bloodshed. So the UN would love that. And again, the U.S. would have no argument. Now, all that backstory, again, all things we covered last night on the show, leads me to this story, whatdoesitmean.com, today, earlier today. Russian military analysts are reporting today that President Putin has issued orders to the Russian Interior Ministry to, quote-unquote, immediately dispatch Spetsnaz Special Forces troops to Iran to protect vital Russian assets, including the Bashir nuclear power plant. There you go, folks. Fulfillment right there. This makes complete and total logical sense, and we expected that this would be the case. Now, again, is this story true? Don't know. No way to find out. I don't speak Russian. I do not have Russian military analysts at my disposal whom I can phone and ask this question to, nor could I afford the long-distance bill. However, it is very timely because, again, it would seem that the Russians, if this story is true, that the Russians think that there is this sense of immediacy to this war, that there is a push towards something. The story goes on. These reports state that this order from President Putin to the Interior Ministry includes the phrase, quote, against any and all hostile forces, end quote, and which, analysts state, is a direct threat to U.S. and Israeli forces currently massing for their planned attack and invasion of Iran. So again, that would imply that military analysts in Russia would concur with my amateurish assessment of double pretty much the troops it took to take Iraq in the first place, that we've got all of these forces in play simply to contain an insurgency. It doesn't make sense, not from a strategic viewpoint, not from a logical standpoint. If truly the objective was to crush opposition in Iraq, it could be done if the gloves were taken off, and it could be done in a couple of days, honestly. There'd really be nothing left to really be concerned about. But again, the agenda is not to contain the insurgency, but to highlight the insurgency, to encourage the insurgency, so that way you have a reason to send more troops to the exact same region that the country you're looking to invade happens to border. Does anybody else find that extremely convenient? So we're talking, in essence, 140,000 officially troops there, where there's troops obviously in Israel, U.S. troops, there's troops in Kuwait, there's troops in Afghanistan, and so on and so forth, all over the place. So they could call those in immediately. Up to 90,000 more being called up to duty. We've talked about that. The Iraq Study Group endorsed that idea. Then, of course, you've got the government security contractors, which are, in effect, mercenary troops, not subject to military law, not subject to the Geneva Convention or anything like that. They can test experimental weapons, they can test experimental ammunition, and they're not subject to anything but their employer, who writes them a check and probably pays a hell of a lot better than the U.S. military and probably has a hell of a lot better insurance benefits. And there's about 90,000 of those guys there. Isn't that a lot for an insurgency? You should think so as well. Story goes on. According to these reports, President Putin was, quote-unquote, strongly lobbied by Saudi Arabia to create this buffer against further U.S. aggression in the Gulf region, and which the Saudi king, in his talks with President Putin this week, stated his belief that the United States, after attacking Iran, would then set its sights upon his oil-rich nation. Now that's interesting, because again, check it out for yourself, the Project for New American Century. It lists the countries of interest. It lists the countries that are a potential, current, or future threat to the United States, and it lists the countries that must be contained or have somebody who's friendly to us, or whatever the case may be, that we have the ability to get in there, if need be, at the drop of a hat. And Saudi Arabia is on that list. In fact, I want to say that was even brought up, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that was even brought up in Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 911. I don't remember offhand. It's been so long since I've seen that film, but it's worth checking out. It goes on, the fears of the Saudi Arabian nation about an American takeover of their oil fields was further confirmed this week with the pronouncements of U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns to end U.S. oil purchases from Venezuela, which would leave only the Saudi kingdom able to make up the difference in lost oil to the Americans. So that also takes on a new significance, does it not? That means that, in essence, the country that's going to have to make up the shortfall of oil would be Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia might say, ooh, I don't like being your sole provider for oil and energy. Because in essence, you've kind of made a mess in Iraq. You're about to make a mess in Iran. And that leaves me over here twiddling my thumb saying, I hope I'm still on your good side. Well, obviously, the idea has already been raised. What if Saudi Arabia was not on our good side? In which case, they would become a target. And they may become a target after Iran. That's their concern. And apparently, according to this story, according to Russian military analysts who, are not named, so take it for what it's worth, it would seem that Saudi Arabia is concerned about this exact eventuality. Story goes on. Virtually unknown to the American people themselves is that their military leaders' plans do not call for a world based on democratic ideals, but are instead based upon the ancient Roman model of establishing American-based protectorates around the globe to ensure the survival of the United States against both Russia and China, who their defense secretary recently warned the U.S. Congress about. And we have a quote here from Robert Gates, and we will do that here when we come back. Please stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. Tail end of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. Wrapping up this story from whatdoesitmean.com. Came out earlier today. Again, Robert Gates basically warning the U.S. Congress in a statement, to the House Armed Services Committee. He said the following, quote, "We need the full range of military capabilities, including ground combat forces to battle large armies and nimble special operation troops to scout out terrorist threats." He said, quote, "We don't know what's going to develop in places like Russia and China, in North Korea, in Iran, and elsewhere." Wow. Talk about making enemies. That's, people are upset about the Axis of Evil speech. I think that one is even worse, that statement right there. Now, Robert Gates, keep in mind, my friends, replacing Donald Rumsfeld. And Robert Gates, who had was when he was nominated, there was some talk that this guy was going to change things up. This was the guy who had written a position paper suggesting that we engage Iran in dialogue, that we get them on our side as a supporter through dialogue and diplomacy, which is virtually what the Iraq Study Group had also said. However, the Iraq Study Group also said we should have more troops in Iraq. We should give that a shot. Up to, but not more than, 100,000 because they're not available. Implying that if they were available, it would be okay to send more, which sounds like a draft. Bush looking to chop even more benefits from the VA to the troops. Implying that, again, if everybody's draftable, well, gosh, we don't want to keep basically having universal health care for everybody who's forced to serve in the military. Let's go ahead and chop off those benefits before we start making people serve forcefully. So that's the Iraq Study Group. They'd like to send a lot of troops, but they said we should talk to Iran. Robert Gates said, hey, we should talk to Iran until he got the job. Now he's saying, hey, we might need to go and bomb these dudes. And Russia and China, they might have some potential problems in the near future as well. Because the thing is, folks, is that what he knows is what you know. And that is there are defense agreements and security assurances between all these variety of countries, and that China and Russia have a vested interest in Iran staying either sovereign or under their control, and the United States knows that. So what we're talking about here is very, very important. It would be, in essence, World War III. Now, this story came out earlier today from the Jerusalem Post. It says, quote, "A prominent Egyptian lawmaker on Monday suggested that the Muslim world should destroy Israel in a nuclear holocaust in order to halt renovation work outside Jerusalem's Temple Mount. Muslim leaders claim the work, which is being done on a collapsed earthen ramp leading to the Temple Mount gate, available to non-Muslims, is really an attempt to undermine the foundations of the mosques that currently occupy the Holy Hill. Parliament member Mohammed El-Khatani, a member of the dictator Hosni Mubarak's own party, told his colleagues that the only way to end the affair is to wipe Israel out of existence with nuclear bombs. On paper, it says Israel is at peace with Egypt. Well, obviously, in words, they are not. Here's the thing. Egypt is, and again, this is all in the Pentagon climate report, where they state the various countries that will acquire the bomb for self-defense or in order to secure natural resources for their nation and for their people. It also states countries that are poised to use the bomb. Egypt has said they're going to pursue peaceful nuclear energy, and the United States endorsed them. They gave them a pat on the back, and now Egypt's saying we should annihilate Israel with nuclear bombs. Well, one guy is saying that. But nevertheless, it's on paper. It's official. It's been stated. That means that other nations view Israel as a big, big troublemaker, and the U.S. is the big brother ready to rescue them. Now, keep in mind, folks, the Pentagon Climate Report talks about big changes, and a lot of countries would need to have natural resources, and they may join a world government in order to get their allocation of rations of natural resource items, food, water, energy, and so on and so forth. This thing is going to kick off soon. It's going to be big. We'll see you in about 20 hours for more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have a spectacular day.